is the Chemtone Hour with Dunninger, the Master Mentalist. Chemtone's the miracle wall finish that
paints an average room for only $2.98.
Goes on living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms, and playrooms like magic.
Goes right over wallpaper, paint, or wallboard. Mixes with water, dries in an hour, washes easily.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman who, with his unique skill as his only weapon, invades your mind and reads your thoughts, Dunninger.
Thank you, Glenn Riggs. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. There's one error in Glenn's description. I cannot invade against opposition. I need your cooperation. You must want me to get into your thoughts before I can. What do you say? Do you want me in there? Well, then, here goes. Concentrate. I receive an impression from some lady or gentleman that is concentrating his or her mind upon the initials J.B. I get the name Captain Jim. Does that make sense to anyone? The gentleman about the fifth row, center of the auditorium, resounds. That is your thought, sir?
That's right.
Would that be Captain Jim Blair?
That's right, sir.
You're asking me mentally where he is at this time?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the answer?
I do, sir.
You simply wrote the question, where is he?
That's
right. You want me to tell you the answer?
Yes, sir.
The answer to that question, incidentally, appears only in your mind, is not placed upon paper. Would that be Caroline Ireland?
That's right, sir.
That is correct. I thank you. Caroline Ireland. Another impression which I receive comes from someone concentrating his or her mind upon a birthday. A day in the month of July, the 25th day in July. Where does that come from, please? July 25th. Who is thinking of July 25th? The gentleman about the 20th row on the right side of the auditorium. The young man with the mic is going up to him. He has to climb a number of steps to get to him on a long cabled microphone. Is that your thought, sir?
Yes, but not a birthday.
Your own? You were born in 1888?
Not a birthday.
Not a birthday. Were you concentrating upon 1888?
No year concentrating.
The gentleman here is doing the thinking. Sixth row, center of the auditorium. You see, I can't pick the individual that does the thinking. Would that be correct, sir? The 6th day of June, or rather the 25th day of June, 1888?
Correct.
By form of variation, since I've selected you for this test and had a bit of difficulty locating you, would you take some other number in mind as well? Are you now thinking of a serial number, perchance? Is it your own number? Yes or no?
My own.
Good. I'd see if I can get that as well. Would that be 10539?
Correct.
That is correct. Thank you very much. Say, you're great. There's so much good thinking going on that I really hate to stop.
But we have our judges to introduce, Dunninger.
I know, so do the honors. Will you, Glenn? Then we'll continue.
Tonight's guests represent journalism, music, and the arts. That sounds like a museum. But our judges are too much alive for that. They are the famous author, Broadway columnist, and playwright, Dorothy Kilgallen. The popular band leader, Shep Field. Our third judge is the great poet of World War II, whose famous poems have appeared in the Saturday Evening Post and Life and thrilled the nation, Joseph Auslander. Miss Kilgallen, you're noted for your insight. Do you have any into Dunninger's methods?
Only hunches.
Want to tell us?
No, thanks. I'd rather have more to base them on first.
What say, Dunninger?
Yes?
Well, I'd rather have more to base the hunches on first.
I see. Well, then watch closely. Here we go again. I receive an impression from somebody or gentleman that's concentrating his or her initials upon the name. Concentrating upon the initials K-R, rather. Kelly is the first name. Where does that come from, please? Kelly is the first name. The last name begins with an R. Seems to be Kelly Rogers. Does that make sense to anyone? It does. It makes sense to the gentleman about the 40th row, center of the auditorium. Is that your thought, sir? Kelly Rogers?
That's the last two names. There's a first name you haven't gotten yet.
Oh, the first one I haven't gotten yet, I see. But that is part of it.
Yes.
You want the first name as well?
Yes.
Would that be Pat?
That would.
It would. And this number you're thinking about, is that Pat's number?
Yes.
What type of number is that, my son? My dear son.
Well, that's my dog, and that's his license number.
His dog, and that's his license number. I know this thing will go to the dogs eventually, George. Well, you want the dog's license number. You want Pat's license number. Would that be 7812?
Yes, that's it.
Good, fine. All right, thank you. What lady is concentrating her mind upon a thought? The thought seems to be, what is the name of a phone number I found in my husband's wallet? I don't blame you for not raising your hand to that one, Maddie. I wouldn't either if I were you. Don't you trust him? I see. You do. You just wanted to know. Well, we'll pass that up. We were thinking of the Westchester Association. You, sir, the gentleman about the 50th row, way up to the center of the studio. Is that your thought, sir? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you ask me to give you their phone number?
Right.
Do you know it?
Positively.
Oh, Danny, you're very certain about it. Well, I hope that I know it as well as you do, sir. Would it be White Plains 223?
Exactly correct.
I thank you, sir. I thank you very much. I get an impression of the digits 109, line 14. Where does that come from, please? 149, line or dash 14. That's part of a number. Will you please raise your hand, because I cannot identify it. The rest of the thought seems to be the digits 4901. Whose thought is that, please? Is that yours, young lady? Is that yours?
Yes, it is.
That is your thought. Thank you very much. I now receive the impression of someone thinking of June 15, 1941. Where does that come from? The young sailor lad on the right side of the auditorium, about the 15th or 16th row. Is that your thought, sir?
Yes, it is.
That is correct. I thank you. And now, who is concentrating his or her mind upon the digits 3716? It's an address. Part of an address. 3716, the lady about the 12th row. Is that yours?
That is.
That is correct, madam.
That is.
Is that your own address?
That's my number.
Your own number?
And the street number was also there.
You want me to give you that?
Please.
You'd like that. Perfect. Will you think of it very hard?
Yes.
Perfect. I'll try to do that. Would that be 80th Street?
It is.
It is. Thank you. Who is concentrating his or her mind upon the number of a bill in his or her possession? Piece of money, a bill. I get the initial B. That is the series, B, and the digits. Where does it come from, please? Oh, you have a bill also, madam,
yes.
In your purse?
Yes.
Good. Well, the lady has a very good mind for this type of work, and she thought she'd put me through a second test. Does anyone in the audience know the number of that bill other than you, madam? Are you the only one that knows it?
I think so.
You're not sure of that?
Well, this lady may hear.
She says she
doesn't. There's no one else.
I see. Well, see if I can help you out and see if I can get it accurately. Would that number be 224-158-52 Series A?
It is.
100% accurate.
Accurate.
I thank you. All the impression which I now receive seems to come from someone concentrating his or her mind upon a name beginning with a C. The name of a place, I get C-A-T-O-Z-E-L-L-A. Where does that come from? That is the lady about the 70th row. It's quite a task getting up there to the young lady. Is that your thought, young lady?
That's right.
Is that a place in Australia?
I want to know whether Mr. Catazella is in Australia.
Well, I couldn't answer that.
I'm no fortune
teller. Well, I can only give you your thought, and that is your thought, is it not?
Right.
Thank you. That is all that I can do for you. An impression which I now receive comes from someone concentrating his or her mind upon a question. Shall I return to New York or return to? Where does that come from, please? And the two, the lady about the center of the auditorium, about 20 rows. Is that your thought, young lady? Is that correct?
That's right.
You made that notation at home, did you, upon your own stationery?
No, right here.
And your own stationery?
That's right.
You simply wrote the question, is that correct?
That's right.
Not the answer. Is your name Quinn, perchance?
Yes.
Winnie? Is that initial S?
That's right.
Good. I can't answer that question because it has something to do with the future. No man can honestly answer that. You appreciate that fact. I can only give you your thought. That is right, is it not? That is your thought, is it not?
That's right.
I thank you.
What about those hunches now, Miss Kilgallen?
After that very convincing performance, my principal hunch is that Dunninger reads thought.
What about you, Mr. Auslander?
Miss Kilgallen's always been noted as an authentic source of information. I wouldn't want to argue with her.
Well, that's very gallant of you, Mr. Auslander. Are you going to let the lady have the last word, too?
No, I'm not.
Die hard, huh? Well, what's your pleasure, Sheffield?
Well, I'd like a little more proof right now. In fact, I think we all would.
I see. Well, I'll tell you, I'm gay, Mr. Fields. But I'd like to make a bargain with you.
I've heard that gag before. You mean if you read my thoughts, I've got to do something for you.
Right. Say, who's doing the thought reading here anyway, you or me?
You, if you try this.
Well, what's it about?
It's about fathers.
Huh?
Miss Kilgallen, Mr. Auslander, and I were discussing Father's Day, which, as you know, is due on Sunday. We decided that if we had a chance, we'd test you on this. What are the three qualities we agreed every father should possess?
I see. That is the simple little job you picked out for me. Incidentally, I've not asked you to make any notations out of these thoughts, have I?
No, you haven't.
How about you, Miss Kilgallen?
No.
Perfect. Would you then be kind enough to be the first to concentrate your thoughts upon this one qualification that is paramount in your thoughts? Miss Kilgallen, please. Think very hard. You haven't any difficulty doing that, I'm certain. Would you perchance be thinking of the one simple little and ever-important word of patience?
I would.
That is right. Mr. Fields, how about you, sir? Would you be kind enough to concentrate your thoughts upon some quotation that you think acceptable at the moment to the qualifications that father should exercise?
Yes, I will.
Think very hard, sir. It's an effort, is it, Mr. Fields?
Very much of an effort.
Well, sometimes it is hard to concentrate. But aren't you concentrating likewise upon one lone word? One word, not a sentence. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
Perfect. Is that word, let me see, understanding, would that be accurate?
That is.
That is likewise correct. Understanding. And now, Mr. Auslander, I'm certain that you have selected an unusual thought for us along this particular field of endeavor. Concentrate, please. Well, naturally, you would think of that, wouldn't you? A sense of humor.
That's right.
That is right. I thank you.
Well, Dunninger did it. Now your turn, Mr. Fields.
Well, what do you want me to do, Dunninger?
Well, I'd like to hear you sing.
Oh, I was afraid of that. I don't sing myself, but I brought my vocalist, Meredith Blake, with me, just in case. I'm sure you'd like to hear Meredith more than me. Besides, she's pretty.
You're telling us. Come on up here, Miss Blake. And what will you sing for us?
I'll sing Embraceable You.
Oh, wonderful.
Embrace me, my sweet embraceable you. Embrace me, you irreplaceable you. Just one look at you, my heart grows tipsy in me. You and you alone bring out the gypsy in me. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty papa. Come to baby, do. My sweet embraceable you. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Oh, don't be a naughty papa. come to baby, come to baby do. My sweet embraceable you.
Thank you, Meredith Blake, and good luck to you when you open with Shep Fields and his orchestra at New York's Copacabana Club this Friday. Today is Flag Day. To honor our flag, we have asked Joseph Auslander to tell you about the 6th of June, 1944, D-Day. You are all familiar with his series, The Unconquerables, the epics of our allies that appeared last year in the Saturday Evening Post. Also with his Invasion Eve sonnets, The Last Four Words, that appeared a few weeks ago in Life. Now you will hear for the first time Joseph Auslander's poem titled The 6th of June, which he wrote on Invasion Day. Mr. Auslander.
This flag that speaks to us of home, symbol of freedom, faith, and pity. This flag brings liberty to Rome, brings truth to the eternal city. And now upon the soil of France, in the cold, ghostly light of dawn, Old Glory greets the anxious glance of men who wave our banner on. This flag for which men gladly perish, for which so many men have died, to hold the way of life we cherish by blood of brave men sanctified. This is the flag of Bunker Hill, of Gettysburg, and Belleau Wood, the flag for which our heroes still pour without stint their precious blood, from Midway to the Coral Sea, from Attu to the Solomons. This is the banner of the free. This is the flag of freemen's sons, the flag beneath whose folds tonight on Norman beach and Roman plain the troops of God and freedom fight evil and tyranny again. Now, let each heart renew its prayer and pledge to that proud flag its all. By land, on sea, and in the air, God grant that flag may never fall. Oh, let us gird our strength and give double our strength, that soon may come that day when men in peace shall live. In God's peace, lead our heroes home.
Thank you, Mr. Auslander. Our battle station is on the home front. Our job is to buy war bonds. The more bonds we buy, the better our chance to greet the returning soldier with pride. Buy more war bonds, and buy them now. Buy more war bonds tonight. Last week, Dick Powell, noted screen star, suggested a mental miracle in connection with the plot of his new picture, It Happened Tomorrow, directed by René Clair. Dunninger will attempt to prove long-distance telepathy. Dunninger will give you tomorrow's headline today. Seated at his desk, some distance from here, is Herman Thomas, an editor of the New York Daily Mirror. He has not yet completed the headlines for tomorrow morning's late editions, but he is thinking about them. With us is Dorothy Kilgallen. She will call the city desk of the Daily Mirror. The editor will pick up the phone and concentrate on what he will write as the headline. The editor will not speak to Miss Kilgallen. He will only concentrate as Dunninger reads his thoughts, and Dunninger writes the headline in bold white type on a dark slate in full view of the audience. Only then will Miss Kilgallen ask the editor for verification. Anything else, Dunninger?
No, I think you've described that very, very well indeed. Miss Kilgallen is now kindly gotten up from the judge's table, has walked to the center of the studio stage, seated herself upon a chair comfortably.
Mr. Powell,
has the telephone. You're ill. Have you made the contact, Miss Kilgallen?
Is it Herman Thomas?
Yes, he's on.
Perfect. Am I correct in asking you at this point, Miss Kilgallen? You are not familiar with this headline at this time.
No, I'm not even familiar with the man.
I see. Very good. And the other judges, Mr. Fields, Mr. Auslander, neither of you know anything pertaining to this information.
Absolutely not.
Is that correct?
No. Nothing whatsoever.
Inasmuch as that information is entirely unknown to everyone, with the exception of the gentleman on the other end of that phone, the young man in the office, at the mirror, it would be needless for me to ask you if any written notation has been made. No notation could be made of anything that isn't known. Is that not a fact?
That's true.
Would you now, Miss Kilgallen, be kind enough to ask him to concentrate his thoughts upon the very first line of the headline that he has selected?
All right.
For tomorrow morning's paper.
On the first line of the headline that you've written.
I have a large slate here in my hands for the benefit of
Are you concentrating?
Don't
tell me what it is.
Don't let him tell you what it is. Simply ask him to think of the first line.
The first line, yes.
Or the first word. Now take the next, please. In his mind.
Now think of the next line.
That's correct. Now the next. As Miss Kilgallen is asking him to concentrate his thoughts, I am writing the information as I receive it.
Well, now, wait a minute.
I know.
How many
first
lines
two letters.
Assuming?
Yes, the third. His third word, please.
Are you thinking of your third word? Think of the third word now.
He's thinking of the third word. At this point, you do not know what
any
of these words are.
Yes, that'll do. Any line. It doesn't make any difference.
That's correct. You don't know what any of these words are at this time, do you, Mr. Gallen?
Yes, he's thinking of the third word now.
The third. Now the next one, please.
Now think of the fourth.
I'm writing that upon a large blackboard here. Miss Kilgallen cannot see what I am writing, nor can the audience. But I hope to show it to Miss Kilgallen and the audience in a few moments before the verification is made over the phone, which I trust will be 90% accurate. Ask him if he has completed the sentence.
Have you completed the sentence? Yes.
Perfect. I'll show this to the audience, consisting of over 450 persons. Now I turn my slate to the stage for Miss Kilgallen to see. Please do not read my sentence, Miss Kilgallen, but do ask him over the phone to tell you the unwritten headline that he has been concentrating upon at this enormous distance from the studio.
Now will you tell me what the headline is?
What is it, please?
U.S.
Yes.
Fleet.
Yes. The next.
Shells.
And the last.
Kareli's is the last word.
Is that correct?
Have
I it correct?
100% correct.
100% correct.
Well, there you are. What do you say to that, Miss Kilgallen?
For the first time in my life, I'm speechless. That man is good.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Miss Kilgallen. You, Mr. Auslander?
I think he's wonderful.
And you've had an enjoyable and pleasant time.
I've had a very enjoyable evening.
Thank you, sir. And how do you feel, Mr. Fields?
I'm stunned, that's all. Dunninger is miraculous.
Dunninger, it's right back to you again.
Thank you, Chef Phil, Dorothy Kilgallen, and Joseph Auslander for being with us. Thank you very much.
Now, here are this week's $50 bond winners in Chemtone's final letter-writing contest, which closed June 10th.
Mrs. Elizabeth M. Slattery, Albany, New York.
Mrs. Melba Beck, Grovetown, Georgia.
Staff Sergeant R.M. Eastman, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Miss O.E. Hackman, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Congratulations. Your war bonds are in the mail. In addition to the $300 in war bonds awarded this week, Chemtone is mailing certificates good for 1 gallon of Chemtone to the writers of the next best 100 letters received. Now is the best of all times to make your rooms new again with Chemtone, the miracle wall finish. Be sure to get genuine Chemtone, the most amazing paint you have ever seen. Next week, we will broadcast from Chicago, and our judges will be
the Honorable Edward J. Kelly, Mayor of Chicago.
Lula Fields, better known as Lula Bell, popular star of the National Barn Dance.
Ranslow P. Shearer, chairman of the War Finance Committee for the state of Illinois.
And Dunninger will attempt to locate and describe an original war bond poster painted by David Mink, winner of the 1943 Victory Award of the Chicago Art Directors Club. Dunninger will also attempt several other mental miracles that promise an outstanding Dunninger night. Now, here's Dunninger to say...
George Wiest, may I have another moment here? There are one or two little thoughts that have left me somewhat up in the air because I have them in part, and I'm certain it'll be of interest to my audience to see whether I could work them out accurately. There's one person in my audience somewhat disappointed because I did not get the complete impression, concentrating his or her mind upon the digit 64. I get 64 Bell Avenue. Whose thought is that, please? That is the lady about the 55th row on the right side of the auditorium. She's up there with a broad smile spreading over her face. The young man is going up at the mic. Was that your thought, young lady?
Yes, it is.
Is it true that when I concluded my readings, you were more or less disappointed? You turned to the job and said, he didn't get mine. Wasn't that
yes,
so?
Yes, that's true.
That is true. So I thought I'd try to get yours. Weren't you thinking of this particular address in Lewistown, Pennsylvania?
Yes, indeed I was.
That is correct. And I likewise got an impression of someone. I'm not certain whether they're on the same mental plane as far as the vibration is concerned, but someone is thinking of Captain Swift. Where does that come from, please? Captain Swift. That is the lady of the... about the 12th row on the left side of the studio. Captain Swift, is that your thought, young lady?
That is correct.
You asked me to tell you where he is at this time.
That's true.
Do you know where?
Yes.
Would that be in Maine?
That is it.
Camden, Maine?
That's correct.
That is correct. And one other thought, please. One other thought. I get the word T-H-E-S-T-L-E. Where does that come from, please? Someone almost fell off a chair there, jumping about halfway down the studio. Is that your thought, sir?
Not exactly. You have one letter wrong.
Is it a certain type of board?
Yes.
Is that not the name of it?
That's correct.
Oh, it is accurate now.
It's the second letter is not A.
I see. It is not an A. It is an R.
It is an R.
I thank you very much indeed.
Now, this is Glenn Riggs bidding you a pleasant good night for Dunninger and the makers of Chemtone and its 50,000 dealers throughout the country. Try Chemtone. No muss, no fuss, no bother with Chemtone, the miracle wall finish. This is the Blue Network.